Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Talk on this Wednesday night. Now time for another outstanding edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources here on Sports Talk, hosted by the very handsome, the very debonair, and the always great sounding, now that he has his professional microphone, Major Billy Downer. Good evening, Major.
With that entrance, I'm not sure how to respond, but thank you so much for talking me up, Phil.
Absolutely. Glad to do it. How are you, sir?
I am doing much better. Like you, I've had my cold, whatever you want to call it, the crud, the pollen. I just got back from Georgia, and it wasn't any better down there. But we are coming out on the other side. I may sniff a little bit, but other than that, I think we're doing much better. But tonight's show, we're going to talk turkey. Decided I wouldn't start off with a turkey call because tomorrow at the Classic, we'll have plenty of that.
Yep.
We'll share that with the folks on the radio. But also want to welcome into the show tonight Jay Cantrell. He's one of our assistant big game biologists here at DNR, and we're going to talk turkey tonight. I'm sure some folks will have some questions. Even if they don't voice them, I'm sure he'll answer some of those, because we're going to talk about the turkey season and the changes that DNR has proposed that are currently in the legislature right now. So, Jay, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, great to be here.
So, Jay, let's just start off. Let's go ahead and dive right in for a minute. You know, turkey season is about to begin. We had the Youth Day this past Saturday. What's our reports right now from that? Do you know?
Yeah, we had, I think, just under 100 birds reported this past weekend for the youth. That was Youth Day in Game Zone 3 and 4, which is kind of the coastal plain. So not too bad, a little bit lower than what we had reported last year, but still a pretty good youth weekend.
All right. So as far as turkey season coming up this season here, our season is going to begin as it has for, what, the last two or three years?
4 or 5 years now, I guess we've been in this framework. Yeah. So
time just continues to pass
on. We'll start. It does. It flies. But, yeah, it'll start this Friday, the 22nd, in the coastal plain there, our game zones 3 and 4, and it goes there till the end of April, and then kind of from the Midlands up, game zones 1 and 2, you know, the Piedmont and Upstate and Mountains, it'll open up April 1st and go to May 10th, and so we'll have another youth weekend for the Upstate coming up that weekend before the 1st. And WMA land statewide will open up on the 1st as well. So kind of some staggered starts depending on where you're at or if you're hunting private or public land. But, yeah, we're right on the doorstep for everybody.
All right, so let's kind of do a brief history of where our turkey season has been in the past 20 years. A lot of folks were familiar with the time that we had March 15th and the Orangeburg Lower Coastal Plain area opening date. And then, like you said, five years ago, we went to a framework that was divided in the state where game zones 3 and 4 began March 22nd, just a little bit later, and ended April 30th. And then your game zone 1 and 2 opened up after that, April 1st, and closes on May 10th, which is the current framework we're under now. We also went to 3 gobblers per season. Is that correct? We dropped from 5 in a lot of areas.
Yeah, that's correct. And there was another iteration in between, you know, the historical, like you mentioned, March 15th opening that ran till May 1st in the kind of the lower coastal plain, you know, kind of Charleston down and Orangeburg over that area. And the rest of the state was April 1 to May 1. And then about 10 years ago, there was a change that put everybody on the same season. That was when we went to March 20 to May 5 statewide, and then we had another iteration where we went to kind of where we are now. But Yeah, we've kind of had some changes over the years. Some trying to kind of get some equality across the state, and then here lately to try to shift the seasons a little bit later to get more in line with breeding seasons and give some of these birds a chance to breed before the season opens. But yeah, we've had some changes, but it went from 5 to 3 as far as the bag limit. But yeah, as you mentioned, now we've got some recommendations we made based on input from public meetings and surveys and some university research and looking at our long-term data sets. So we'll see if next year we're looking at something different. It's like you mentioned, it's in the legislature right now in the House, and we'll kind of see where it comes out the other end. But we're looking at some proposed changes moving forward that right now, as it stands in the legislation and where we recommend it, it'd be going from a 3-bird to a 2-bird bag limit. So reducing the bag limit and then shortening the season a little bit from our 40-day season structure now to a 31-day season. And then the big thing is shifting the start date later. So it'd be an April 10 to May 10 season. You know, that's the best for the bird based on the science and the research and had widespread support from the public. We did a series of public meetings across the state this past summer and a
right
online survey. And so we'll kind of see what happens, but, it's some major changes for people, particularly in the low country where they've historically had that early start, but not quite as big a change for folks in the PD and the Piedmont and upstate that historically started April 1st.
All right, so let's back up a minute. Let's break this down for a minute. So we were at a 5-bird limit in a many counties. Yep. I remember way back when I remember back 30 years ago when the seasons weren't open in every county. Everybody didn't have 5-bird limits. It was all over the place. And so we went to 5 birds. We've dropped to 3 birds. Now we're looking at dropping to 2. Let's talk about that for a minute. So obviously if we're dropping our limit, what does our science tell us about the turkeys right now? What's going on?
Well, we're in a long-term decline in South Carolina, and really it's not unique to South Carolina. This is something that's happening across the Southeast and really even showing up in the Midwest and some other parts of the country. But a long-term, you know, when I say long-term, about a 2-decade, slow, gradual decline in turkey numbers, and that's all rooted in lower reproductive success and lower survival of poults, the young of the year. So basically where we're at is our productivity and survival of our birds, you know, every year, the ones that are, you know, eggs laid and hatched and raised, is not keeping up with annual take from hunting, you know, from harvest, and then other non-hunting mortality that affects turkeys. So what we're basically losing more turkeys than we're adding every year. So it's a declining population, thus the need to cut back on, you know, bag limit and season length, you know, as an attempt to harvest fewer birds every year. So we're not, you know, losing ground every year. Hopefully we can get reproduction boosted back up. And that's where the season date change comes in, shifting the season later to line up closer to when the average hen in South Carolina lays her first egg and starts the nesting cycle, in hopes that we can get more breeding done. Because right now, with our research and the current season structure and looking at our harvest data, statewide, we're taking about 60% of our annual harvest prior to that date when hens start laying and nesting. So, which is, you know, the breeding is occurring, the bulk of it leading up and just prior to that. So we're basically taking birds out during the peak of their breeding. And that's, you know, the science says that's having an adverse effect on breeding success and nesting success. So that's one of our attempts to try to, get reproduction back up, so we're producing more birds every year, and we can kind of get out of this hole. But it's twofold. We got to boost reproduction, and we've got to put the brakes on harvest a little bit, so we can kind of get out of this decline and at least level things out and hopefully get an increase happening and getting more birds out there. So it's complex, and you know, there's other factors at play with habitat and predation and weather and all sorts of things. But what we can control on a statewide level is seasons and bag limits and methods to take, and so that's what we're trying to do.
That's a great point, Jay, because I think some people want to point out certain predators. A lot of people want to bring up coyotes. I know I've heard so many stories of people turkey hunting in the last few years that said every time they went out and started calling, they'd see a coyote, you know, almost immediately.
Right.
And I know studies have been all over the place on that, where they used to be it used to be, if I remember right, coyotes weren't that big of a impact on turkeys in comparison to other things. Is that still true, or is that possibly changing some?
No, that's still true, and there's been, you know, some recent research that's looked at that, and some diet studies on coyotes looking at, you know, DNA analysis of their scat and some other research. And they're still, I mean, they are a turkey predator, but they are still kind of low on the list. I think they're a turkey harasser more than a killer.
Just because one shows up when you call doesn't mean he's always killing a turkey when he tries.
That's right. You know, they're not really built for that. You know, bobcats are better at that, and avian, you know, hawks and owls. But just because he shows up and is curious about the call doesn't mean they're necessarily taking a lot of turkeys. They do get some, but the research just doesn't show that they're that it's a huge part of their diet. And the bigger concern is things that eat eggs and eat young poults. And so it's more your raccoons, possums, skunks. And then, you know, a huge thing that a lot of people don't even think about is snakes, particularly your rat snakes. And, you know, they get a lot of nests, a lot of eggs, and even some, you know, really young poults. So, and then, you know, there's crows, there's hawks, there's owls, there's a wide array of predators. And, you know, bobcats, foxes, you name it. So coyotes are in that mix, but they're not the driver. You know, now if we're talking deer fawns, that's a whole nother thing. They they take more than their fair share of young deer, but turkeys, that's just not their strong suit.
So when a poult, you know, once the egg is hatched, so to speak, poults get out, just real quickly, how quickly do they begin to where they can fly? I think it's interesting for folks to understand that.
Yeah, so well, I kind of run through real quick the whole cycle. So, you know, a hen's going to lay an egg a day for 10 or 12 days, and a lot of people don't know that, you know, she doesn't just drop a whole clutch of eggs at once. She lays approximately an egg a day, and while she's laying, she's not incubating. She lays an egg and goes back to being a turkey for the rest of that day and, you know, flies up the roost at night, comes back the next day, drops an egg, does that for 10 or 12 days, and then when she's laid a complete clutch, which is, you know, 10 or 11 or 12, eggs, then she starts to incubate, sitting on them to incubate them 26 to 28 days, and then they hatch, and then, you know, they're on the move within a day or so. They're not, you know, hanging out in the nest very long, and then she, you know, is brooding them, keeping them, you know, warm and dry and getting them out to feed, and it's usually between 2 and 3 weeks of age before they can fly. You know, maybe 2 weeks they might can flutter up to some low limbs in a shrub or a bush. By about 3 weeks of age, they can fly short distances and kind of get up and limb hop up into a tree and roost up in a tree. By about a month old, they're doing pretty well. And so that's kind of the critical time for those poults, is the first month. Once they get about a month old, they're in pretty good shape and can elude predators pretty well, and they're feathered out enough that they're not as susceptible to, you know, getting cold and wet. So that's that critical time there. But yeah, particularly the first 2 weeks when they're spending, you know, 24 hours a day on the ground, they're obviously very vulnerable and susceptible.
Pretty much everything eats them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're small, and you know they're not that fast, and they're not that weary, and so they, you know. But once they can start getting up and sleeping off the ground, that increases their survival a lot. But it's tough to be a, you know, we say all the time, it's amazing any of them live. It's tough to be a little baby turkey out there. So everything wants to eat them.
Absolutely. So moving back now, so kind of pulling all this together, that April 10th date is what has our studies, and how long was that study? I know we did a study for what? Is it a couple of years? So people understand that?
We did a 4-year study down at the Webb Center down in Hampton County.
So that was done in South Carolina. It wasn't done out of state. It was done on our birds.
Right. Yeah, and that established, you know, looking at a lot of birds with GPS transmitters on them, getting really detailed data. And that's where we came up with that, you know, kind of April 9th, 10th for the average date that a hen lays her first egg. So, and then there's been other studies in the Southeast, in Georgia, North Carolina, Louisiana, East Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, you know, they're all over the Southeast, you know, at similar latitudes. And that's really what drives this, is what latitude you're at, because, you know, the timing of breeding and nesting is dictated by daylight length, photo period, you know, because it controls hormone levels in these birds. And so, any rate, multiple studies across the Southeast all come in at that same point in time. But yeah, this was a project done in South Carolina, but there's supporting research all over. And so that roughly April 10th date is kind of where we're trying to get to protect as much breeding as possible, but still allow hunters time in the woods when there's really strong gobbling activity, because that's really what drives turkey hunter satisfaction, is hearing birds gobble. And so, you know, we want to push it as far as we can biologically to protect the bird, but we also want to start early enough to have good hunter satisfaction. And that's that kind of sweet spot right in there. And so that's what we're proposing. And like I said, so far that's where the legislation is. We'll see where it ends up. But, you know, and that's not anything unique to South Carolina. A lot of states in the Southeast have been looking at similar things or trying that and moving, you know, shifting season dates, shortening seasons, lowering bag limits, pushing season dates later. So this is, you know, not something we just came up with out of the blue. You know, it's based on good science and data. And like I said, most every state is looking at similar things to try to help with this problem. It's not a unique problem, and it's not a unique solution.
All right, so just again, we did a lot of public meetings during the summertime. You alluded to that, and I think you said this, but I kind of wanted to recap. You, a lot of hunter support for this. Everybody I've talked to seems to all understand that they're not seeing as many turkeys in a lot of areas. I mean, again, you may be in one area where turkeys are doing really well, and you know, and you may see a lot of turkeys in one spot. That doesn't mean everybody's seeing turkeys, and I hear more often than not people talking about not seeing as many turkeys as they have in the past. So I think a lot of from a standpoint of hunter support and sportsmen and women, that they all see that this is something that needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of where we got to this. You know, we're doing another research project right now at Savannah Riverside, which is an unhunted population, that to really kind of get into this hunting effect. And we were thinking we'd let that project finish up and have some really strong data, but there was so much talk and interest and concern from the public, from hunters and landowners, in the last couple of years that we said, you know, it's time to move on this now. We had enough. We had 3 years of good data from that project that supported this. And like you said, yeah, so many people were starting to really notice the difference on the ground. You know, I tell people, we've got data, you know, harvest data and our summer turkey, you know, brood survey data, and we can look at long-term data sets and kind of see this coming. It shows up in the data before it really shows up on the ground. So we've been talking about this problem and this decline for, you know, 10 or 12 years, but it's really been in the last year or two where it has showed up widely, you know. And as you mentioned, there's still places in the state that have good, you know, pockets that have good populations of birds. But it's gotten to be a widespread issue and a lot of concern. And so, yeah, there is support because people are cognizant of the fact that we have a problem and we need to do something to fix it. And when they kind of look at the data and the science, they say, yeah, this is not a good trajectory that we're on. It's not sustainable. And I talk to people all the time that say, you know, I want my kids and my grandkids to be able to turkey hunt and have turkeys. And so, you know, we're trying to make a change while there's still enough birds out there to be impactful, you know. I mean, I don't want people to get the idea that, you know, we're running out of turkeys and there's no turkeys out there. I mean, there's still birds and still huntable populations, but it's gotten noticeably worse, and we're just trying to make a change before it gets really bad. You know, we don't want to have to shut down seasons and things like that. We want to just kind of put the brakes on and try to turn the tide and get a – you know, get this thing pointed back in the right direction. Widespread support.
Sure.
You know, a lot of interest in doing this.
So before we end tonight, let's recap what the season is now so that everybody understands. Don't confuse everybody. So March 22nd is opening day for game zones 3 and 4. Under the current framework, you can take one gobbler from March 22nd through the 31st.
Correct.
And again, that's trying to protect those gobblers from breeding. That's the current framework. So one gobbler from March 22nd to 31st, and that's in game zones 3 and 4 on private land. Game zones 1 and 2 will open up April 1st. And that, in April 1st, they can't take more than one gobbler from April 1st to April 10th. And that's in game zones 1 and 2. And then after dates, you can take the other remaining birds if you so choose and have the opportunity. Non-residents
one a day after that.
That's right.
Yeah, so, one per day after that first 10 days. So,
that's right.
Yeah, and then so wildlife again, management of public lands are April 1 to April 30th.
Absolutely. So private land, again, opens up in game zone 3 and 4 on March 22nd, which is this coming Friday. That's this Friday. And we'll have the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic for those that may need a few turkey calls, turkey vests, whatever you might need. The Classic opens up Friday at 12 o'clock at the State Fairgrounds. It will be open Saturday and Sunday as well, Sunday through 5. Again, I think it's 9 to 5 on Sunday. Again, it will be it's the second largest show at the state fairgrounds other than state fair. So pretty big deal. And Phil and I will be out there on Friday afternoon doing the show live. So you can come by and poke fun at Phil, not me, but
actually it will be you and Smitty. You and Smitty will be out there. I'll still be a member.
Well, good for you. I'll be
you can pick me. You pick on Smitty and I'll eat some barbecue and say hey to Elvis for you.
There you go. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
but Jay, I want to thank you again for tonight. A lot of information. Appreciate sharing that with us tonight.
Absolutely, and hope everybody has a safe and successful turkey season.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
All right, Phil, that's going to wrap us up for tonight. Again, talking turkey, and season opens up this Friday.
Fantastic, Major. Great job, and get your rest and get ready for the Classic. I hate that I'll miss it, but Smitty will be there with you Friday. We'll have you guys on, and looking forward to hearing from you and your guest at the Classic.
No doubt. I'll see Smitty on Friday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Major. That's the Major, Billy Downer, and that is SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. Quick update, they've gone to the 9th USC Clemson softball. They're tied at 3. And baseball, Clemson leading Presbyterian 7-1. That'll do it. Thank you, Patrick Daniel. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll see you from Memphis and Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Have a great one.